Let's get this popsicle stand on the roll.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to the Geek Tyrant Weekly Podcast. I think that that's an excellent opening line. Let's get this popsicle stand on the roll.
Yes.
Welcome. I will introduce the panel. We have Mazer with us this evening. How are you, Mazer?
Doing good.
As usual, I say this evening, but you might be listening in the morning or afternoon. Please do not hold that against us. We try not to date ourselves too much when we record the podcast, but needless to say, it's not a live thing. If it was live, I mean, of course it's not live. And if you thought it was live, how full of yourself are you to think that we were just waiting around until you clicked play to start our podcast? Anyway, Mazer's here. The dude is here. The dude, how are you?
I'm good. How about yourself there, EMH?
I'm excellent. Thank you for asking. Mr. Black. Mr. Black is also joining us. Mr. Black, hello.
Hello.
And Dr. Venkman, you're here, right?
I'm here.
We're pretty excited. Dr. Venkman and the dude just wrapped up their stint at Sundance Film Festival.
Awesome.
That is located in Park City, Utah?
That is correct, my friend.
Park City, Utah is the capital of California, and at least it was, you know, for Sundance.
While we were there. So
we want a full report from both you guys. How was it?
Well, unfortunately, we didn't go the full time, which kind of bummed us out because we were having way too much fun. But we were there for a good, solid 5 days, I'd say, and just had a blast. Had an incredible time. For me, the best movie I saw up there was 500 Days of Summer. If you've been reading the site, you know that because I keep talking about it. And I am currently putting together a self-made soundtrack for the movie because I found out all the songs that are in it. And I love the soundtrack. So now I'm making the soundtrack before the soundtrack is even released.
Which is perfectly legal, by the way.
I was going to say, that sounds nice and legal.
Especially since you're selling it out of your van or something.
Or the website, you know. Welcome.
Sorry. Wait, what are we doing? I'm still talking. I'm sorry.
You're talking about Sundance, Pinkman.
I was, and I was also just going to say one of the worst movies I saw was The Informers. I couldn't do it. I don't know. It was just not. It wasn't very good.
Okay.
It just didn't make sense. Did it make sense?
That's fair. Now, dude, how about you? How many movies did you see at Sundance?
Oh, man, I have no idea. No, it was great, man. We were there for, like Venkman said, probably 4 or 5 days. And it was awesome. 3-4 movies a day. You know, we got in on the special, what do you call it, press interseries screenings with all the other movie geeks and whatnot. It was a great time. I actually didn't see 500 Days of Summer.
He lost out.
Really angry about that.
He went to another movie.
Here's my little spiel about. Hear me out. Hear me out. I'm a huge Paul Giamatti fan. Okay, he had one coming out called Cold Souls, where he actually plays himself in somewhat of a being John Malkovich kind of a thing. You know, one of these big identity thriller, whatever the heck you want to call it, gotcha. Which actually turned out to suck pretty bad. And I didn't get to catch 500 Days of Summer, which is one of the big raves of Sundance. So kind of pissed about that. Other than that, though, some of the highlights for me, I'd have to say my number one film of Sundance was a little film called In the Loop, which was just awesome, a British comedy. James Gandolfini's in it, other people that you'd probably recognize, but I have no idea what their names are. very awesome, very quick-witted, awesome comedy. Had a kind of a documentary feel to it, like, you know, kind of like The Office. Just really good, really funny. It got picked up. You'll be seeing it here, released by IFC. You might be able to go and get it just on video on demand here in the next few months, if you're with Comcast anyway. And that's my big suggestion of Sundance. Go see In the Loop.
See, and that movie I missed. I did not see In the Loop. I went and saw a little movie called The Fan.
Ah, yes.
Which I really didn't care for. Is the same guy that wrote The Wrestler too? So I thought, The Wrestler was a pretty solid movie. So I thought this, you know, The Fan would be really good. But there were so many plot holes in that movie. It was like Swiss cheese on a sandwich with ham on it.
Well, I don't know which is worse, the fact that you used that metaphor, the Swiss cheese metaphor.
That was a totally lame metaphor, and I meant it that way. That was...
You took it all the way to sandwich, dude.
I took it all the way to sandwich. I was going for it.
It's nice to have that out, isn't it? It's nice to have the whole "I meant it to be that way."
Exactly.
That is awful. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that with us, Figman. Swiss cheese. Okay, I'm going to move on. Okay, so I just got a couple of stupid questions about Sundance. For people who just hear the phrase Sundance Film Festival, is it all held in one big building? Are there different screens? Are you just made reference to seeing, you know, different movies at the same time? So I'm assuming there are different places to see these movies. But just how does it, and is it just riddled with celebrities? I mean, are there just movie stars, directors walking up and down the street at Park City, all over the place?
Yes, but as for the first question, the movie theater situation, they really don't have a lot of movie theaters up there. I think there was only one movie theater that we saw that showed some movies. But the rest of the movies are showed at – like they showed some movies at the high school. They showed movies at hotels, had screening rooms in them. They had a few other little movie theaters, the most famous being the Egyptian up there. And so they had a theater set up at the library. So it's like, they set up movie theaters all over the place. And so they have movies playing all day, every day during Sundance at several different locations. So,
and just to kind of clarify, what they do is they do all the premieres on that one theater that we saw all the premieres at. But other than that, there's about 10 to 12 theaters in Park City and also in Salt Lake that they just kind of rerun those same films at. So I think there's – how many films are there, Bankman? There's like something like 300 that premiere at Sundance.
Yeah.
Something like that they run over the week.
Yep.
Comprising of just all kinds of stuff, documentaries, shorts, and everything in between. We saw a bunch of comedies. Sometimes there's some horrors there. But, just really awesome experience if you can ever make it up to Salt Lake.
Another great film I saw was Mystery Team. I just have to give a shout-out to those guys because that movie was freaking funny. Sorry.
Okay. Who's the biggest star? Who's the biggest celebrity you saw?
Biggest celebrity we saw?
Yeah, biggest name. Come on.
I don't even know. It was Meriwether from
Dominic Monaghan.
Yeah, that guy. We saw him walking down the street. That was pretty
Charlie from Lost.
Yeah, Charlie. No, we almost had a run in with Mariah Carey, apparently.
No, we didn't.
Shut up. Yes, we did.
That was all just speculation. People standing around.
That's what happened, dang it. We saw a big congregation outside of this one store. No one knew what they were waiting around for, so someone tossed out Mariah Carey, so we just kind of rolled with it. We waited around for about 20 minutes. Nothing happened, so we just kind of carried on. But that was the highlight of my Sundance trip right there, just kind of working this thing up in my head that I almost saw Mariah Carey with her hubby, Nick Cannon.
We kind of saw Mike Tyson.
Who?
Mike Tyson.
The boxer?
The boxer, yeah. He did a documentary that he had going.
There was a documentary about him. He didn't do a documentary.
Well, yeah, it's a documentary about Mike Tyson. So he's up there supporting a documentary about himself.
It was a documentary about the making of the video for Will Smith's "I Think I Can Beat Mike Tyson."
There you go.
Mike Tyson's there, man. He's just happy to be involved.
You speculate.
We also saw Steven Soderbergh, the director.
Yes.
We did see him. He's a really nice guy. You know, just kind of got up close and personal with him. Not very personal, but personal enough to be like, hey, I met that guy, so.
That's what Bankman would say anyways. I'd say that I stood within 5 feet of him as well. No, that but here's the thing about Sundance. I thought it would just be like, you know, famous people all over the place. But, I mean, you walk up and down Main Street of Park City, which is kind of like the, you know, the main drag, the main hangout of everyone. And everyone is just there waiting for a glimpse of somebody famous.
Yeah, a lot
just
of
everyone
exactly.
Like us. So, I mean, I could go up there and, you know, say I was famous and probably sign a couple autographs to a couple of idiots for all I know. But, I mean, it's really not what I expected. You see a couple minor celebrities, you know. Maybe you'll get lucky enough if you kind of stake yourself out on Main Street, but no, it's not some famous fest like I would have liked it to be.
Gotcha. Well, you know, it just sounds like such a wonderful thing for a movie geek to be a part of. So
it is.
That's awesome.
It really is.
Okay. I guess we should talk about the weekend box office before we get into the news I'm most excited to discuss, which is the Oscar nominations. Did anybody see Paul Blart Mall Cop?
No.
Okay, look. let me tell you guys something. Venkman, you didn't answer. Did you see it?
I did not see it.
You see things through different eyes when you have children. I mean, you learn to program yourself to at least try to look at things that may seem just a little ridiculous to you. But see, I find Kevin James to be pretty funny. I thought he was great in Hitch. I think it's pretty hard to share the screen with Will Smith and still get a large amount of the laughs or at least the attention. I just think he's pretty funny. I see this trailer for Paul Blart Mall Cop, and I'm sorry. I'm laughing out loud. Now, if this was somebody I didn't like, or somebody that just didn't have quite the cachet as Kevin James, like, I don't know, a Horatio Sands, then I would probably not want to go anywhere near this movie. But this film, and Kevin James has never headlined a movie by himself, at least not a successful one.
Yes.
This movie opened January 16th. Anyone want to guess what it made?
Not much.
Opening weekend, $31 million.
Wow.
For Paul Blart Mall Cop, which I thought was awesome. I mean, I haven't seen it, but I was excited. That's not what the big thing. I mean, first of all, the budget was only $26 million. So we're talking, you know, from a budget standpoint, profit from weekend number one. But seeing as how it was also a holiday weekend, and you factor in the Monday holiday, if you extend that box office gross, Paul Blart Mall Cop hit $39 million in its opening, in its, you know, 3-day opening weekend. This weekend, number one movie in the country, Paul Blart Mall Cop, second weekend release, $21.5 million. That's a second weekend for this movie that looks absolutely ridiculous.
Wow.
Good on him.
Yeah, oh, that's awesome for Kevin James. 2 weeks, $64.8 million. I have not seen it. There's no way there's not going to be a sequel, right? No way.
No way. It's not going to happen.
And it's – well, and the fact that – I mean, nowadays – you know, it used to be if you looked at the ratings and there was kind of a big gap. Now when you see a PG-13 or an R, you know, you know that there's not that much difference anymore between a solid PG-13 and an R.
Yeah.
When you see a movie that's PG that has a big star in it, it actually kind of surprises you. I mean, anytime you see any movie that's not a cartoon or it's not clearly a High School Musical type movie, you're blown away when you see PG. When I saw this movie, it was PG. I thought, oh my gosh, that's great. So this is going to be a new franchise. Paul Blart Mall Cop. There's going to be a sequel. There's got to be. But yeah, that's your number one movie in the country, beating out the latest installment in the Underworld franchise. Now, yeah, you guys are the comic book guys, the vampire guys. I'm going to turn it over to you. Do you guys like the Underworld movies?
I liked it. I mean, it was what it was. It was what I expected it to be. It could have been. Yeah. It could have been better, but you know, I didn't expect it to be better. It matched my expectations.
I have to agree. I have to pretty much agree 100%. It was not a great movie, but it was pretty much what you expected. It wasn't horrible either. It just could have been so much better, I think. The problem I had with it was too short of a movie.
It's like an hour and a half, less than an hour and a half long.
And the story was very rushed. At least I felt it was very rushed. I felt like it needed about an hour to explain things better.
Okay. You'd have to pay me a lot to see it. I don't like those movies. So.
The funny thing is you have some really some pretty good actors in there. You got Bill Nye. You have Michael Sheen, who is Justin Frost Nixon, as basically the star of this movie. So,
oh yeah, they get some pretty good acting chops in this film.
It's just the movie was just too short. That was my
just too short.
Yeah, they needed more time to explain things.
All right. Well, that's your number two movie. Let's wait and see how it does in week two. But it made $20.7 million in its opening weekend. Budget of only $35 million, so certainly on pace to make some dough. Number three this week was Gran Torino, the Clint Eastwood film that you may or may not feel was snubbed in Oscar nominations. Again, we'll get to that in a little bit. $16 million. In week number seven, although this is only the third week in wide release. 97 million gross. Has anybody besides Vinkman seen this movie?
Well, you should if you haven't. Come on, guys.
It was on Vinkman's list, number one of movie of the year, right?
Yeah, I still haven't caught it.
Oh, man.
I really want to see it, Vinkman. Life is really hard right now for seeing the films.
It's
but
okay.
I'm with you. It cracks me up how Don Cheadle can do something like Hotel Rwanda and then make a movie like Traitor. And the number four movie in the country this weekend, Hotel for Dogs.
Dude, when I saw him in that movie, I was like, what the hell is he doing in this?
Exactly.
Why is he doing this movie?
I guess he could do as many bad movies as, between now and the release of Iron Man 2 as he wants.
He's earned it, I guess.
I guess so.
You know?
Well, in week number two, that movie made $12.3 million. It's now grossed about $37 million. And number five, its first weekend in wide release, Slumdog Millionaire, $10.5 million. And that's a total gross in 11 weeks of about $56 million. The budget of only $15 million. And Slumdog Millionaire just won the best cast performance cast ensemble at the Screen Actors Guild Awards, which were given out this evening. Did you guys see those?
I missed them.
No, didn't catch it.
So I don't really care.
You know, it's just so many awards and the Screen Actors Guild Awards, and just, you know, bring on the Oscars.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Screen Actors Guild are probably the most liberal because it's just it's just the members of SAG, and once again, right now, I can't believe that Tina Fey was not nominated for Best Actress at the Oscars for Baby Mama, because apparently she wins every award that she can be nominated for. I mean, The Office continues to get snubbed because Tina Fey and Alec Baldwin and 30 Rock are winning everything. And it's driving me nuts. I know this has nothing to do with the top five movies in the country, but 30 Rock won Best Comedy Series Cast Performance, Alec Baldwin won Best Actor in a Comedy, and Tina Fey won Best Actress in a Comedy, all at the Screen Actors Guild Awards. So that's driving me nuts. But anyway.
It's a damn conspiracy is what it is.
It is. Oh, my gosh. Look, I've added it to my rotation. I put it in the DVR every week. I find 22 minutes to watch 30 Rock. I find myself laughing a couple of times each episode. And anytime Tracy Morgan's on the show. Because Tracy Morgan's hilarious to me. He's the one that's underappreciated on the program. And I actually like Jane Krakowski, the blonde who plays Jenna. She's pretty funny. But the show itself is good, but not great. It's not... Okay, I'm done. I'm sorry. You guys are tired of being bashed.
I agree. Wholeheartedly agree with you there.
I love the show.
Okay. So, thank you, Mazer. All right, so there's your top five. Paul Blart, Mall Cop, Underworld, Rise of the Lycans, Gran Torino, Hotel for Dogs, and Slum Dog Millionaire. A couple of surprises in that top five for me. Guys, yeah. let's get to this. The Oscar nominations came out last week. Does anybody want to just give opening thoughts? Were you surprised? Was it boring? No, I mean, what did you think of the nominations?
I think they're a little expected for the most part. I mean, they just seemed like obvious choices in a way. Especially okay. like with Slumdog getting so many nominations and.
I thought that was now. All right, what about the whole snub of The Dark Knight for Best Picture?
I have issue with that. I honestly do. I mean, I'm glad Heath. I mean, well, I said this on the last podcast that I wish Heath Ledger would have been nominated as Best Actor, mm-hmm. and Gary Oldman as Best Supporting Actor. But at least we got Heath Ledger nominated for something. But yeah, I think Dark Knight should have been nominated for Best Movie. You know?
Yeah.
I was just completely snubbed. And I think Nolan should have been nominated definitely for Best Director.
That really surprises me. I mean, there's no secret on this podcast. I'm not as big of a fan of The Dark Knight, but it's not because I don't like the movie. It's because I just felt it was so overrated. But the truth is, I'm looking at this list of Best Picture, and although I have to be honest, I haven't seen a single one of them. Not one. And I would say that I'm in the majority, to be perfectly honest with you. I mean, most people haven't seen any of these movies.
I have to say, I think that, I mean, the Academy has been talking about getting their numbers up because they've been dropping, you know, every year, less and less people are watching the Academy Awards. I think not having The Dark Knight as Best Picture, one, was a bad mistake because that's not going to help their numbers. I think the numbers would have been much higher had The Dark Knight been nominated.
Yeah, and
because half the country hasn't. You're right. Half the country hasn't seen those movies that are nominated. So what are they? Why do they care to tune in for something that they for a bunch of movies they haven't even seen?
But do you guys really understand how the Academy works?
Yeah, but
it's not like still. I mean, it's not a committee that selects movies. The Academy is made up of like hundreds of people, and they just. They all score movies, and whatever movies get the highest scores are the ones that get nominated. I think they have to get a score that's higher than like an 8 out of 10 or something, and those go in.
Yeah, it's also not the People's Choice Awards or the MTV Movie Awards. It's like...
Yeah, but let's be perfectly honest. To me, I came out of The Dark Knight, and I said, you know what? I enjoyed it, but I was much more impressed with... how it was made. I was much more impressed with just it almost seemed like the performances were just perfect for what they needed to be. Every you know, major part in that movie, I was blown away, not just with Heath Ledger. The only person I don't really care for, of course, is Christian Bale as Batman. I don't like him as Batman. I think he's probably better than Val Kilmer. But other than that, I would love it, but that's fine. But the point is, I certainly think the biggest snub was Nolan. He should have been nominated for Best Director. Pulling off what he did, I mean, that was a really, really good movie. Anytime you can sit through a movie that long and really not feel like it was long at all, that was just very impressive to me.
I mean, at the very least, I would have wished they would have gotten Best Screenplay at least nominated for Best Screenplay because that was a incredibly detailed and intricate screenplay.
Yes.
It wasn't just a cheesy comic book screenplay.
Well, and there were so many plots, you know, so many subplots with characters dealing with things, and I really thought that the two ships that both had the explosives in it, that whole storyline, was really creative and really impressed me with just you know, how whoever was writing it was really tuned in with the human spirit. I don't know. I really thought that, that the Dark Knight could. I mean, I'm not going to say that was a crime, but I really thought it was one of the best made movies and one of the best movies of the year. And just can't believe Nolan wasn't nominated for best director. So I agree. That was a snub.
My issue was a snub.
The biggest issue
with this list is Benjamin Button, to be honest.
As best picture.
Yeah. Okay. Don't get me wrong, I like the movie, and it's actually the only one out of these movies that I've actually seen. But
well, there you go right there. Come on, pal. I mean, let's at least be fair here. If you haven't even seen these films, how can you go and say that Benjamin Button's the only one that doesn't deserve to be there? I mean,
no, okay. I didn't say that.
Has a problem with this? I mean,
I see what you're saying, dude. Go ahead.
My gripe with Benjamin Button is just like Forrest. It's like another Forrest Gump. It's like almost exactly the same
movie. And that's why it'll probably win. I mean, it's an epic movie that's beautifully shot. It's a David Fincher film, and I think most people like David Fincher as a director, and this is his thing. I mean, he made this movie to win an award. Let's face it. He made this movie because he wanted an Academy Award.
But it comes off that way.
Exactly. It does come off that way. I totally agree with you. But the thing is he'll probably
is an amazingly awesome film. You're right. Damn him. Damn that man.
Well, we should do a shot-for-shot remake of The Godfather Part 2. And then we would win an Academy Award.
I think
Award.
We should. We should. Geek, let's do it.
Geek Tyrant presents. That would be awesome. Okay, so that's fair. So here's a game we're going to play. I'll put you on the spot. I'll give the category. I'll give the nominees. And then if you want to, you don't have to, but if you want to, you can choose one that you would take off the list and one that you would put on it. So in other words, you could say, Mr. Black, I don't want The Curious Case of Benjamin Button nominated for Best Picture. I think The Dark Knight should take its place. Does that sound fun to y'all?
Does it have to be Best Picture? Could it be anything else?
It can be something else. I'll go over the categories real quick.
Okay.
Should I just, you know, go over the less I don't want to say less important, the less sought after,
less interesting. Less interesting.
I guess less interesting to the average viewer. I'll just start at the top here. Best actor, which, by the way, I was impressed that the Academy remembered Richard Jenkins in The Visitor. Yeah. While I don't necessarily, I honestly heard a lot about the performance. Then I saw the movie and I thought, it was really good. It was really good.
It was good, but Richard Jenkins was good in it, but Samuel L. Jackson did a much better job in Lakeview Terrace than he did in that.
Oh, gosh.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Anyway, your best actor nominees, Richard Jenkins in The Visitor, Frank Langella from Frost Nixon, Sean Penn in Milk, who, by the way, won the Screen Actors Guild Award, Brad Pitt, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, and Mickey Rourke in The Wrestler. Who would you take off and who would you put on?
Wait, hold on.
You'd take off Brad Pitt.
Yes, because personally, after reading and watching about how they did the special effects in that movie, Brad Pitt really didn't do a lot of acting in it.
Okay. So who would you put on?
So Brad Pitt's out.
And Samuel Jackson.
No, Samuel Jackson, no. But I would put in Clint Eastwood for Gran Torino. I'm pissed that he got snubbed. Because that was one of the best performances of the year, and they totally dogged him. So screw that. It's out.
Okay. Anyone else want to play that category? You don't have to, but you can.
Well, I think mine's pretty much already said and done, but I would probably do the same. Take off Brad Pitt and move Heath Ledger into Best Actor.
Gotcha. Fair enough. Anyone else? Okay. Then you know what? I don't really have one right now either for this category. I mean, I really haven't studied it and decided who I thought really got shafted for Best Actor. I'll just move on. Best Actor in a Supporting Role. We have Josh Brolin from Milk. We have Philip Seymour Hoffman in Doubt. Heath Ledger in The Dark Knight. Michael Shannon from Revolutionary Road. And this was probably the most exciting pick for me. And because I said it when I saw the movie, Robert Downey Jr. in Tropic Thunder, nominated for an Academy Award for that role.
That's awesome.
He was so good in that. Okay. Any thoughts? Who would you take off? Who would you put on?
Go ahead. I think for me, I think it's fine. I don't have any problems with that. Any of those.
Okay,
Oh, go ahead, dude.
Okay, no, I just wanted to kind of point out this. I think this, the competition here for me is a lot tighter than actor in a leading role. I mean, for me, just watching Philip Seymour Hoffman, Heath Ledger, and then just the other night I went and saw Revolutionary Road, and Michael Shannon he does an awesome job in that film. For me, he totally stole the film. So for that one, I think that's a dead on list right there, and I think it's going to be that's going to be an interesting one for me to watch that night.
Well,
so,
I'll say this, and I say this every year. This is just the first year I've had a podcast to say it. I really think that the most competitive category each and every year is Best Actor in a Supporting Role. That's where you get just from top to bottom, you get such incredible performances. It always seems like politics emerges more in the best, the leading actor. The supporting actor is usually the truest, in my opinion, and very often the most accurate. I mean, they seem to get it right more often in this category. Guys, the funny thing is, to me, looking at it, it's still can you honestly see anybody other than Heath Ledger winning this award?
No.
No way.
Me neither.
He's got it in the bag.
Yeah.
Let me tell you this. It's not that I'm just trying to pick somebody else. I'm really not. Because I really think he's probably the winner. But I've always felt like playing crazy is overrated. I mean, Heath Ledger's a very good actor, and he's got an awesome resume. But It's crazy. I mean, who can't play crazy?
You got a really valid point there, but I don't think that's necessarily why. At least my opinion, I don't think that's why he should win. Uh-huh. I think he should win because, at least for me, when I see him as the Joker in this, I can't tell it's Heath Ledger for the most part. He is just so much a different personality than any Heath Ledger performance I've ever seen. So that's one of the reasons why I think he should win. Not necessarily because he's crazy. Because I agree with you. I think crazy is not that hard to pull off.
But he also is wearing the makeup, so...
Yeah, well, he's wearing the makeup.
It's nothing. It's like Jack Nicholson being crazy. We've seen that 100 times now. But, you know.
Jack Nicholson, I've never seen him play crazy in a movie. I'm still waiting for that to happen.
Oh, man. Okay. I tell you what, though. It's one of those things. Every year I go to the movies and I see in what is, in my opinion, a brilliant comedic performance. I walk out of the theater and say, that guy should be nominated for an Oscar for that performance. And every year he's not. And this year he was. And that's Robert Downey Jr. in Tropic Thunder. And the sad thing is, Heath Ledger is so incredible. I don't think he's got a chance of winning.
I disagree. I have to disagree. I think Robert Downey Jr. is a really good shot to win this with Heath Ledger.
I tell you what, if he does, I'm not going to be that disappointed, if disappointed at all. And I try not to bring my own politics into it, because we all say, oh yeah, the Oscars are so political, but the truth is we very often bring our own politics into it. Is Tropic Thunder anywhere near on the same level of film as The Dark Knight? Heck no. And not in my opinion, anyway.
But that's not what this category is about. This
exactly.
Is
about
the acting performance.
And the truth is, I was looking at this picture of Heath Ledger, on the Oscar webpage, and I'm like, you know what? How much of that role, how much of his performance was aided by the brilliant Chris Nolan, you know, and the makeup. And then again, I look up at Robert Downey Jr. and say, well, the guy was painted black for the whole movie. So, you know, that's the thing, is that both of them, you know, were incredibly dressed for their part. And the funny thing is, Robert Downey Jr. played an Australian who was an American, and Heath Ledger is Australian, who was playing an American. So there are a lot of similarities between these two. But right now, I still say Heath Ledger is going to win this award. And, you know, they never tell you, of course, but I don't think it's even going to be that close. But golly, that's a great category. So, yeah, I don't have anybody that I would take off the list, and anybody that I'd put on it. So unless you guys want to chime in there on that, but
Gary Oldman, that's all I'm saying.
Gary Oldman was solid. I mean, he was solid. Best actress in a leading role, Anne Hathaway, Rachel Getting Married, Angelina Jolie, Changeling, Melissa Leo from Frozen River, Meryl Streep from Doubt, and Kate Winslet from The Reader.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not gonna fuss there.
No, I'm not either. I'd like to see Meryl Streep win for that her role in Doubt, though, because she was absolutely incredible. She is frightening in that movie.
She did just win the Screen Actors Guild Award. Again, I know that doesn't matter, but there is, you know, there is no clear favorite, I don't think, for this category.
There isn't.
I think when Rachel gets married. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I have a long shot for this one.
Okay.
That would never happen in a million years, but who I think should have been nominated is Katinka Untaru from The Fall.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys have seen that, but she's an amazing little actor. She's like 9 years old, and she made this movie fantastic. That's okay. Who I would have nominated personally.
Who would you have taken out then?
Honestly, either Anne Hathaway or Angelina Jolie. Honestly, I don't have high opinions of their acting abilities. Ever.
I think Angelina Jolie has been good in some things. I think she's been really good, actually. But yeah. You know, again, it's kind of like the Crazy Man performance. The mother who's had their son kidnapped. You know, I've seen it a lot, so I just kind of get bored with those performances. I was really interested in something like Kate Winslet in The Reader or Meryl Streep in Doubt, especially when you see those period pieces. It's always good to see just how the actors can bring you into that period. And Doubt is getting just all sorts of nominations. But yeah, I don't know. I thought Kate Winslet might have been nominated for Revolutionary Road, but it looks like The Reader is being the. Oh, by the way, Kate Winslet won the. She won the SAG, the Screen Actors Guild Award, which is funny because I guess that means Kate Winslet. I think Kate Winslet won Best Supporting Actress for the SAG, because Meryl Streep also won for Doubt. But at the Oscars, they're nominated against each other. Same category. Okay, interesting. Or maybe not. Best actress in a supporting role, Amy Adams from Doubt. Penelope Cruz from Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
I just don't get that.
Viola Davis from Doubt. Taraji P. Henson. Is that how you say her name? I don't know.
Yes.
Sure. From the thank you. From The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. And then Marissa Tomei from The Wrestler.
A lot of buzz is going around Marissa Tomei winning this one again.
You think?
Yeah, I hear it a lot. That
she was good, but she was barely in it. I mean, I don't know. She wasn't like
I hear it a lot that they're thinking that because it's like a comeback performance for her too.
No,
because she's been she's disappeared from acting for a long time.
That's going to say
doing like
parts
here and there.
It is kind of like a comeback performance.
Is it?
The last time I saw, wasn't she like in the bedroom? Was she in that movie?
I never heard of it.
The one with Sissy Spacek. You remember that one? He got all that Oscar buzz a few years ago. I mean, Venkman, you remember that movie?
Wait, which one?
In the Bedroom.
Oh yeah, I remember In the Bedroom. It happened in the bedroom.
It happened in the bed. Nothing happened in the bedroom.
Nothing happened in the bedroom.
Okay. Anyway, Yeah, I could see that. I don't know, though, because, you know, and again, I think stuff like this matters. Meryl Streep got up at the SAG Awards tonight, and she just screamed about Viola Davis. She said, the phenomenally talented Viola Davis, somebody please give her a movie. You know, apparently she's, you know, not getting a lot of work. And when something like that happens, you know, I guarantee you that's going to, someone's going to say, oh, maybe we should look at this performance. Usually I do not like people that are nominated in the same category for the same movie. And that's the case here, Amy Adams and Viola Davis. So right now I'd say Marissa Tomei, just, there's not a clear front runner. So I'd say, sure, she's got as good of a chance as anyone else.
She does.
Okay. Animated feature film, Kung Fu Panda, WALL-E, and Bolt.
Yeah, and?
No surprises there.
No.
Bacon says Bolt. WALL-E.
Bolt's going to take it.
Come on. WALL-E's going to take it. You want Bolt to take it. Come on.
WALL-E is awesome.
I would like Bolt to take it just because my friend's in it.
I do have a problem with WALL-E, and I'll get to it later. I know you're surprised to hear me say that I have a problem with WALL-E, but I do, and I'll get to it later. Art direction. Do we care enough to talk about that?
Do we know enough to talk about that?
I was going to say Changeling, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, The Dark Knight, The Duchess, and Revolutionary Road. And
Major and me do.
I've only seen The Dark Knight, but I'm going to go with The Dark Knight. I mean, art direction, and this is funny because I was actually an art teacher at a high school for about 4 months, and even though I do not have a degree in that field, but I can tell you that art direction, I mean, basically is how you know, set the stage for whatever period your movie's set in.
Out of these, like, even though I'm about to contradict what I said before, I would actually go Benjamin Button.
Really?
Out of these. I think the art direction in that's a little bit better than Dark Knight.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, Dark Knight looked real, but, I mean, Benjamin Button did have that artistic feel.
It had a fantasy.
Yeah.
It had a bit of more of an artistic feel, whereas Dark Knight, everything was made to look as super realistic as possible.
Yeah.
Which is artistic in a way, too. So
I was going to say, The Dark Knight is the only one that created a fictitious place and really, I mean, it just seemed perfect, but I can certainly see what you're saying. I got to see Benjamin Button. I've got to. I mean, it was nominated for like 13. It was nominated for 13, right?
Yeah.
That's really close to the record. What's the record? 15? 14?
Yep.
15.
This is also a Paramount movie, and it's big, and I guess it could be compared to Titanic as well, but it just really didn't make as much money. They're not even sure if it's going to break even because apparently they spent $300 million on that movie. $300 million on making The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, and apparently they're not even halfway through making their money back.
Yeah, but when you say $300 million, only half that's production budget.
Well, you right? never know. You never okay. know.
Cinematography, Changeling, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, The Dark Knight, The Reader, and Slumdog Millionaire. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen but The Dark Knight, so I don't know.
This I would go The Dark Knight.
Okay, now, get this. Costume design. Australia, Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Australia has no business being nominated for anything.
The Duchess, Milk, and Revolutionary Road. I mean, sometimes I'm not disrespecting costume designers. It's awesome what they do. But when you take a movie like Milk, is that really that challenging to recreate? What's Milk set in? What decade?
I like
60s or 70s or something like that.
Yeah, something 75 like that.
Through 78, something like that.
There you go. I'm 75 through 78.
Mid to late
70s. To me, it is. I mean, first of all, I thought The Dark Knight should have been nominated in this category.
Yeah.
You know,
I would have nominated Rise of the Lycans, honestly.
There you go. Yeah, well,
that's some great costumes in that.
That's 2009, though, dude.
But it came out before. Oh no, it didn't. It did.
Yeah. See.
It won't get nominated, but I'm just saying.
That's, no, it's a good thing Paul Blart Mall Cop didn't come out in 2008 because that would be like sweeping some of these categories. Apparently. I don't know. I'm kidding. Okay, directing. Curious Case. I don't know why they don't put the directors' names, but you guys help me. David Fincher, Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Ron Howard, Frost Nixon, and then I don't know the names of Milk, The Reader, and Slumdog Millionaire.
Milk is Gus Van Sant. The Reader is Stephen Daldry. I don't know who that is. And then Danny Boyle, Slumdog Millionaire.
Gotcha. Who's going to win?
Fincher.
And who would you take off and replace with Chris Nolan?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'll say this.
I don't care anybody except Fincher. Fincher should be there, but Danny Boyle. He did a good job. I just, you know, whatever.
Here's
Nolan got snubbed.
Here's somebody I would take off, and not because of the movie, just because I don't like his movies in general. It's Gus Van Sant. But I've never seen Milk, so I don't know if it's...
Juan, haven't you ever seen a little film he did with Matt Damon and Casey Affleck called Jerry?
I did not.
Oh, you should rent that. You should rent... You will fall in love with Gus Van Sant films.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Now, and the Stephen Daldry guy, I don't even know who that is. So. I've never seen any of his movies.
The Reader was awesome. It definitely deserves to be there.
Okay. I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
Very well told.
Okay.
But yeah, and I haven't seen Frost Nixon, but for me, I think Milk. I thought it was just overrated. Just because of what it was about alone, and you know, in this time and age. But yeah, I definitely put Chris Nolan in the place of Gus Van Sant in Milk.
Does anybody have any opinions on documentaries?
Would you like me to read the nominees?
I like watching them.
I like watching them, but I'm not.
But I probably haven't seen any of the ones.
Have you heard of The Betrayal, Encounters at the End of the World, The Garden, Man on Wire, or Trouble the Water?
Nope.
No.
Actually, you know what? Man on Wire has been getting a lot of hype.
I did see Man on Wire. Man on Wire is actually very cool. It played out like a heist film, but it was a documentary on this guy planning his walk across between the north and south towers of the World Trade Center. Pretty incredible that he actually pulled it off, though. What they had to go through to do that? Wow.
Yeah, and actually, I think earlier on, this was even... I mean, it was kind of being thrown around as maybe a best picture.
Yeah, it was a really good movie. It was good. You can rent it now. I mean, it's out on DVD, so check it out.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard of that. I'd like to see it. Documentary short, The Conscience of Nem-N, The Final Inch, Smile Pinky, or The Witness from the Balcony of Room 306.
What?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yep.
All right.
There you go.
Film editing, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, The Dark Knight, Frost Nixon, Milk, or Slumdog Millionaire? Anyone?
And
begin. Okay. Foreign language film. Anybody know anything about that stuff?
Yeah, I'm peeved.
Yeah, there was a movie that should have
been nominated, and it's not, and I could care less about the rest of these movies. So I'll be taken down, and Let the Right One In should just win by default.
There you go.
And there you have it.
All right. Here we go. Makeup. The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. The Dark Knight, or Hellboy 2?
Hellboy.
Yeah, I'd go with Hellboy.
Yeah, I'd have to go with Hellboy.
In all honesty, I don't know why Dark Knight's on here, because the makeup wasn't that elaborate.
It's really just a couple of characters with the Joker.
Yeah, and then the most shocking thing you saw was Two-Face, which was CG.
Yeah, that was
CG. Yeah, it wasn't makeup.
Curious Case was again makeup. A CG head, so... Yeah.
I would go Hellboy.
Yeah,
that's actually a lot of conventional makeup in that.
Maybe the only time you ever hear me say anything positive about Hellboy. not because it's not good, but just because it's not my cup of tea. You know. Anyway, music. Best score. The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. Defiance. Milk. Slumdog Millionaire. Or WALL-E.
Yep.
Slumdog.
You guys like Benjamin Button, right?
I did like Benjamin Button. I liked it.
And Mazer, you said Slumdog like on the podcast. Didn't you say that a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, I did. I think actually it really serves the the mood, and also the music changes with the characters, which is something you don't really hear with a lot of movies. Usually it's kind of like, you know, this one sweeping score through the whole thing, but then the thing is, like, it starts out kind of in small community, and as the world gets bigger, the music gets bigger and more contemporary, and it just keeps changing. It's pretty cool. Plus the contributions from
Gotcha. Well, see, and I liked, I liked the one for WALL-E just because a movie that has that goes that long without a lot of talking as WALL-E did, the music I think has to be good, and it's actually, there are a lot of movies you just don't notice the score, and they may be brilliant, but you don't necessarily notice them or depend on them to carry a movie like you have to do in a movie where there's just not as much talking. So I'm not saying WALL-E is the best. I'm saying it's, you know, to me it was one that I know and appreciated. Best song. Now, usually this is a category that usually has five different songs, and I was really surprised.
There's a reason why.
Down to Earth by WALL-E, or from, not by WALL-E, he's not singing, from WALL-E. And then, I'm going to mispronounce these words, from both of them from Slumdog Millionaire, Jai Ho and Osava. Do you guys know these songs?
No.
Are they going to cancel each other out?
I don't know.
And it's going to go to WALL-E, or?
Isn't the song from The Wrestler with...
No, Bruce Springsteen didn't even get in.
Really? Can you believe that?
Yeah, that shocked me. That was another upset right there.
My mind.
Do you guys know why there's only three and not five? Because it's been confusing people a lot.
Go ahead.
Because it takes too much time for them to do the performances during the show. They want to do three instead of five.
Actually, no. I mean, you would think that would make sense, but no. It actually goes down to, back to what I was saying earlier about the point system. They have to meet a prerequisite amount of points. From the Academy for them to be nominated. I think it has to be like 8 points or something out of 10. And I mean, I could be wrong, but this is what I heard the other day. And that's why there's only three instead of the usual five.
Wow.
Somebody ought to make a documentary on the Academy Awards and how they're done.
Yeah.
Because that would win an Academy Award.
you know what's funny? Well, I don't know if it's funny or not, but we actually... I'll tell you after. This isn't.
Thank you, Vinkman.
I don't know. This isn't a thing for the show. So.
I mean, if anybody, like, if any of our listeners knows how it's really done, please leave us a comment and let us know.
Okay, well, we might as well then. I'll just say it.
Oh my god.
we got invited if we wanted to go to Chicago. We got invited to go down and see how the actual Oscar is made, like the whole process that they go through in doing it. They also invite us over to Beverly Hills to see, like, go through the whole ballot system, and they explain how that all is set up and put together and stuff. Which I may go to if I can make it. It's during the day, so I don't know if I'll be able to, but that's something, you know.
Sounds like something they do on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
It is, isn't it?
Exactly.
They do the kind of how it's made sort of thing with the.
We're gonna take a trip. Chicago.
It'll be Dr. Venkman's neighborhood.
That just sounds creepy.
I was gonna say, I don't know if I'm coming to your neighborhood.
That sounds like a Tim Burton movie.
It does.
Nice.
Dr. neighborhood.
Okay. All right. We covered Best Picture, Curious Case, Frost Nixon, Milk, The Reader, Slumdog. That's great. I'm going to move on, because we've already done that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, short film animated. Guys, this is the most exciting category for me, because it's so rare that I actually really care about this category. La Maison en Petit Cubes. I'm just making that up. It reads La Maison en Pets Cubes. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you had it right the first time.
Thank you. Lavatory Love Story. That's pretty funny. I mean, I haven't seen it, but that looks for, you know, the tiny little picture that I have on my screen makes it look funny. Octopody. It looks like a little version of an octopus. OKTAPODI. Octopody. This Way Up, and then the one that I love so much, Presto, the Pixar short film that they showed before WALL-E with the little rabbit, you know?
Oh, yeah, did you guys see it?
I loved that. I hope that wins so bad.
Well, it's Pixar.
Well, look, I know Robert Downey Jr. I just don't think he's going to win, so I really hope Presto wins. If Presto wins, then the rest of the night, I don't care. I'm good.
You're good.
Honestly. There's nobody, you know, it's always fun to root against Sean Penn, you know, when he's up for best actor in a leading role. So I guess I'll root for Brad Pitt or Mickey Rourke or, heck, even
Mickey Rourke.
Know, Richard Jenkins.
It's Mickey Rourke.
But I'm not going to root for Sean Penn. So, you know, what category do I care about? I don't think my boy Robert Downey Jr. has a chance. Nothing else is really that appealing. So I'm putting all my hopes on A Happy Night on a short film animated. So there you go.
There you go.
Short film live action. Don't make me say it in German. I'm just going to read it in English. On the Line. And then Manon on the Asphalt, New Boy, The Pig, and, oh gosh, Spielzugland, Toyland. Yeah, it's foreign, but they give me the English version. That's great.
Of course they do.
I don't care. I mean, short film, live action, anybody?
Never seen any of these.
Sound editing, Dark Knight, Iron Man, Slumdog, WALL-E, or Wanted.
Wanted, really?
Yeah.
Well, sound
which, by
editing,
the way, I hated that movie.
They have the curving bullets.
Yes.
And they have the sound. They make a sound when they curve.
But for an Academy Award?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I hated that movie.
I would go for Dark Knight or Iron Man.
I'd go WALL-E, actually, on this one.
Actually, I would, you know, for sound editing, for Dark Knight or Iron Man, but they have sound design, right? That's another category?
They have sound
mixing. No, they have sound mixing.
Mixing?
That's different.
What's the
difference? Sound design would probably go into sound editing, I would imagine.
Yeah, then I have to go for WALL-E.
Oh, guys, you and your WALL-E.
Sound mixing. Curious Case, Dark Knight, Slumdog, WALL-E, or Wanted?
Pass.
Keep in mind that 4 out of the 5 were nominated in sound editing.
Yeah.
I don't know why we should keep that in mind, but Dark Knight. I don't know. Visual effects, The Curious Case, The Dark Knight, or Iron Man?
Iron Man.
Yeah, I really liked Iron Man's visual effects, but I don't know. I still think The Dark Knight's probably going to win that one.
Here's the issue, though, is there's a difference between visual effects and special effects. And Dark Knight besides Two-Face, didn't have that many visual effects.
I mean,
there's a few here and there, but
I think I'm going to lean Benjamin Button. He had a CG head for 90 minutes of the film, and it was actually pretty good.
I'm going to agree with you there.
Oh, well, then I agree, too. Sight unseen. I'm voting visual effects category. I'm voting without seeing it. That's the definition of irony, right? Okay, last two. Best adapted screenplay.
What's adapted from taken from something else?
Yeah, based on something else. The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Doubt, Frost Nixon, The Reader, or Slumdog Millionaire.
Didn't see
and
any
usually,
of
remember, this is usually a consolation prize. This is a lot of times goes to a movie that's nominated for Best Picture but is not going to win.
Slumdog.
Okay.
I've only seen Benjamin Button out of all of those.
Slumdog.
Well, I don't have a pick yet either. It's hard to pick on that. Here's the one I have a problem with. Best original screenplay. Frozen River, Happy Go Lucky, In Bruges, Milk, and WALL-E.
In Bruges.
And stop it. You hated that movie.
No, I liked In Bruges.
No, you
I
didn't.
I didn't hate it. No, I liked it. I'm just saying it's not a comedy. That's all.
It's definitely not a comedy. Yeah, no, my problem is, although I loved the screenplay for WALL-E, there was just a lot of the movie. And I know a screenplay is not just words. But did you guys not think that that was a stretch?
Yeah, that's definitely a stretch.
Since, you know, there really isn't a lot of dialogue in it?
Yeah.
I don't know how they did that, but...
And the story wasn't all that intricate or complicated.
No, it wasn't. It was very straightforward.
It was a cartoon. It was
very plain.
Yeah.
I thought it was boring.
What, though, you know, it you know, we all knew it wasn't going to be nominated for Best Picture, but WALL-E came hard with 6 nominations. That's pretty impressive.
Can I add one that I would have loved to have seen in here?
Sure.
Besides the obvious of Dark Knight, is I would have loved to have seen Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist.
Oh yeah,
that's a great screenplay.
Yep. I can see that. I can see that. I mean, I didn't see the movie, but I mean, with the style of movie it is, and yeah, I can see that. Okay, well, there's your Oscar nominations, folks. It's something to be excited about.
It is. It really is.
Okay. I guess, yeah, we've been going for a while here. We probably shouldn't go much longer. Does anybody have anything big they wanted to discuss, though? General movie talk or television stuff?
Nah, I'm good.
Okay.
Watchmen's actually coming out now.
Yeah, Watchmen's going to make it to the theaters.
Okay.
Congratulations, awesome. The fanboys won.
Well, I think we need to...
Actually, Fox won, too. Fox is going to get a big chunk of change. For doing, absolutely nothing.
Nothing. Except for suing.
I guess that's one way to make money in Hollywood.
All right, well, here in the coming weeks, we need to talk about some of these shows that have come back from their holiday breaks. And some shows that are
like
debuting.
Lost.
Lost debuted last week. I haven't seen it yet. I got it on the DVR.
I'm just going to say it was awesome. I'm back in. I'm back, baby.
Okay, so Heroes is out. Lost is in for Venkman. Good. So Lost, by the way, Jack Bauer has now lived 5 hours of his 24 hours. I haven't seen one yet because I just don't have time, people. I'm a busy man. I've got a lot of stuff going on in my life. And I'm sorry. And I'm too busy watching my Big Redneck Wedding and shows like that because I can watch those in 15 minutes and fast forward. The good shows, the real shows, I actually like to sit and watch. So I promise I'm going to catch up and then I'll be able to discuss these things. But
apologize to Jack.
I am sorry, Jack. I am sorry. Because Jack Bauer, no man has ever done more for our country, living or dead, than Jack Bauer.
It's so true.
And it's all in one-day increments.
Exactly. Can you imagine what a year of his life must be like? If that's a day, he must have... I mean, golly, how has he not just turned traitor? You know what?
Hey,
if he did,
hey,
I couldn't
might have.
Oh,
might
yeah,
have.
That's true. Maybe
and we
he
just
has.
Don't know it.
And we don't know it. And okay. Well, that's it for me, folks. Coming out this week at the box office, The Uninvited, the latest scary movie... you know, that I think is based on a Japanese film. You guys would probably know that better than me. Taken with Liam Neeson, Maggie Grace, and Famke Janssen. Also, the Renee Zellweger film New in Town. All coming out this weekend. So there's your big choices. Anything else?
Real quick, yes.
Yeah.
Hulk versus Wolverine comes out this week. Hulk versus Thor. It's the Hulk versus series.
On video.
On DVD. So go out and buy that and support your local animation arts group. And also, breaking news. I don't know if you know who Amagi or is it Imagi Animation?
Yeah.
Okay, they're out of money and temporarily shutting down. So...
Oh,
that sucks. They did the last Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, the CG one that came out, and they're working on Astro Boy. But yeah, they're out of money, and that just so that's kind of sad.
Yeah, I like
Teenage Mutant. Yeah, they had some good stuff going on over there.
You hate to hear that. Maybe that's something that could have been saved for. You know, the beginning of a podcast. So
well, no, it just broke. Out, like really. it just broke right now. So I'm just.
Well, I have some good news. You know, to kind of.
Oh, okay, yeah, good. Let's do that.
Lighten it up.
After an almost year of hiatus, actually probably about 8 month hiatus, Battlestar Galactica is back.
Yes.
Season 4.5.
And it is awesome.
And it is better than ever. It is amazing. For all of you not watching Battlestar Galactica, you are not true geeks. I'm
EMH, I don't know if you watch this show.
Yes, you do know that I do not watch that show.
Oh, dude, this is so up your alley.
I'm telling you, dude. You would love this show.
Yeah, forget, this is your kind of a show.
Forget that it's a sci-fi show. Forget that it's a space sci-fi show and watch it for the freaking drama because it is.
What channel does it come on?
It's on the sci-fi channel, but now you have to start season one. You can't come in now.
Oh, I can't come in now?
No. Netflix, Netflix that shit.
You're saying I can't. You're saying that if I turn it on, I'll be completely lost.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Everything will be ruined for you.
But would I be? Oh, it'll be ruined.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll ruin a lot because a lot of the show is built up over time, and there's a lot of secrets that get gradually revealed, and new secrets come out. And if you watch it now, it'll just ruin the entire experience for you. Okay. You have to watch it in order, in sequence, from the beginning.
Well, see, it was one thing when I just had to turn it on and catch it. I was thinking about it. Now you're asking me to pay money to rent it.
I'm sure there's other avenues you can explore.
Nah, that's a good point.
Other dot coms you can go to.
Exactly. That's a good point, Mr. Black. And I will check. I will look into that.
But right. I am of the opinion is you cannot be a geek. You cannot be a geek or a geek tyrant without watching Galactica. That is the epitome of all. I'm sorry.
And one more last thing, and then we'll close this up, is I'm proud to say this is the first time, I think, since we've had our podcast that no one has broken down.
Yes.
We've all made it.
Yeah, he's right. No, the whole podcast went and nobody
Wait, dude, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
There it is. Boom.
Done. I've got to psych you out there. Wow, we didn't have any technical. Well, we did have one name slip, though. EMH.
I'll fix that in post.
We're getting there.
One day.
Then we'll fix this in post.
Well, thanks for joining us tonight, everybody.
EMH?
No. He's there. EMH?
He's connected. He's breathing. I'm like, I can see him on the levels.
Okay, I'm here. You guys. You nutty. You guys. Okay. Yeah, okay. Battlestar Galactica. And yes, I screwed up. And I called somebody by their name. And we got to clean all that up on post. Now we're going to clean this up on post. Oh, I'm sorry, post cleaners.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Okay. Appreciate it.
Okay, so next week we're maybe a little bit more TV talk and discussion of what's out, and we'll just if any of the Oscar buzz has shifted, then maybe we'll talk a little bit about that. Other than that, we'll just try to keep it mainstream next week. You guys have a wonderful week, and we'll see you next time.
Sounds good.
Yeah. All right.
See you, everybody. Bye.